love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Great, great day. Welcome once again to your morning energizer. Welcome to your faith boost. Yeah, your morning faith boost. That was The Goodness of God by Bethel Music featuring Jen Johnson. And yes, the goodness of God is running after, overtaking, you know, just blessing us day in, day out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day. It's a glorious day. I believe, you know, it's wonderful. So praise God, praise God. So, yep, welcome to our series on what you have in Christ Jesus. What you have in Christ is the third episode, and I believe it's getting exciting. Don't forget, for the first two episodes, we talked a lot more about things dawning on us. And it's important. It has to dawn on you. And what we've been saying is, as much as these are clear in the Bible, all right, most times what we might have could just be mental assent. Mental assent is you just mentally agreeing, all right, that what the word said is true. But it's yet to become an actionable revelation. It's yet to, all right, fill your thoughts and, you know, fill you with that much energy and that much strength. And if you recall, if you were with us yesterday, or please, if you weren't, you could just backtrack, listen to yesterday and then the day before. But I told a few stories about a number of men of God whom today, you know, are popular, whom today we know as faith men and all of that. So, you know, it's just important, please, that While we see them as, you know, the big men of faith and everything, it's important that they, you know, we don't just see them as, oh, great man of God, all right? We see them, if you go back into their lives, you see how they fought the fight of faith and how they still are fighting. I remember some years ago, what year was that? Sometime in the late 90s or something, okay? So the Copelands were talking about the fact that I think for certain reasons, they fell behind in their TV bills. And then they were on TV every day, all right? So one month's bill was into millions of dollars. And Kenneth Copeland said the way they got out of it was the way they came out of the same 11,000, right, US dollar debt of like the 1960s. They went back to the same principle. It was the same thing. Said it was them going back to God's word, them listening to God's word, them aggressively speaking to the mountain, speaking to the depth, listening to the wisdom of God. Said it was the same principle. You know, so these same people, you know, we look at them and say, oh, wow, great men of faith, oh, great women of faith. But it's them putting to work the same word of God. So it's not just mental assent. It's not, oh, I remember the days when I used to walk in prosperity. I remember when my faith used to work, you know, where healing was concerned. You know, no, it's we get better as the days grow, you know. And that's one thing. I remember Ken Hagin said that. You know, a number of years ago, he said the way it ought to be with a believer is the more years we have in Christ, the more we grow in our years of being in Christ, the more proficient we ought to be with the operations of spiritual things. He said, but what happens most times is, you know, you find believers saying, man, when I was a younger Christian, my prayers were answered faster. Even if I pray now, you know, I get the answer now. But right now, it's not like that anymore. All right. And then you find a lot of believers saying those kinds of things. He said, no. And really, really, it shouldn't be so. Because the older we become in Christ, the more proficient we ought to be about the operation of spiritual things. The older we are in Christ, the more proficient we have to be, all right, about the operation of spiritual things. So these things have to dawn on us. So we'll go to the familiar Ephesians chapter 1. Well, Ephesians is what we'll be using today, possibly today into tomorrow, all right? That's today part 3, tomorrow part 4. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, the third verse, I know we know it, all right? But it says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings with heavenly places in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I'll take it again. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now that is a screaming verse. That is a shouting verse. That is a wow, triple wow, quadruple wow kind of verse. And you're like wondering, yeah, but I know the verse. Yeah, we know it. Remember what I said about intangibles? All right. So we think we're waiting to thank God when we see the manifestation, when we see the tangibles, but the intangibles themselves are the real things. Hebrews 11:3, again, I mentioned it yesterday. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God so that the things which we see were not created from things that do appear. So the tangibles came from the intangibles. So people could say things like, God made the world out of nothing. All right. So while that might seem to be so, but it really doesn't communicate what really happened. So God didn't make the world out of nothing. God made the world with a substance called faith. God made the world with his word. Did you get where I'm going? All right. So it's not just God made the world out of nothing. No. Bible said nothing was created without the word. By the word, all things were created in John chapter 1. So the word was a substance. But how do you see the word? The word is intangible. You can't see it. It's invisible. So you have to have faith in the invisible. You have to have faith. You need to get what I'm saying. So God said, let there be light. All he did was say something. So he didn't use nothing to make the world. He used something to make the world. The something he used is called the word. All right? The something he used is called faith Through faith, the worlds were made by the power of the spoken word. So we now come to the Bible and you read, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He said, well, it's just something written in the Bible. No, you miss it again. Once again, this is the word of God. So this is as powerful as the word God spoke in Genesis chapter 1. This is like the word. So what we do is we pick it up. Remember the story I told us yesterday about Kenneth Copeland, how that he was reading Galatians chapter 3 in 13 and 14 verses. He saw Christ has redeemed us from the curse and the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. And he ran to his wife screaming, Gloria, Gloria, we're rich, we're rich, we're rich. How? Intangibles. He saw the word. And we must believe in the word. That we must believe so much in the written word that we believe that when we hold on to it, it works. That's what we do with healing. Oh, by stripes I'm healed. Oh, but I'm waiting for it to manifest. No, what you need to stand on is the one. Listen, if every time you're well is because you feel well, and every time you're not well is because you don't feel well, then your health or your understanding of health and healing is not based on God's word. It's based on how you feel. Did you get that? All right. So you feel well today. Oh, it's a great day. I feel good. And then you don't feel well today. The day is not good. My body is not just well. I pray the Lord heals me. You are well because the word said you're well, even if you don't feel well. And even when you feel well, you are well because the word says you are well. Please understand this. If you stay too much on I'm well because the word, I'm well because I'm well, then I'm not well because I'm not well, then the day you're not well, you will be struggling with your faith to walk in health. Because until you now feel well, you won't believe the word works. All right, but I'm well. I know I feel well, but my feeling is not what runs me. I am running my health by the word of God. So that the day I don't feel well, I will still go back to, hey, even when I felt well, I believed I'm running by the word of God. So this time will not be any different. Do you understand that? So you're living your life by the intangibles. Don't forget 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which we see, but we look at the things which we do not see. For the things which we see are temporal, but the things which we do not see are eternal. The things which we see are temporal. The things which we do not see, the intangibles, we don't see them. But they are eternal, the word of God. Don't forget, heaven and earth will pass away, but one jot of God's word will not go unfulfilled. So God's word is surer than heaven and earth. God's word is surer than the furniture we sit on, surer than the bed we lie on, surer than the things we see and feel and touch. The things we see, they are temporal. They are subject to change. But the things which we do not see, the spirituals, they are eternal. God's word is eternal. Are you getting this? So our finance, our understanding of supernatural supply, we're not comfortable, all right? I'm not blessed today because I have money. And then I'm not blessed tomorrow because I don't have money. No, I am blessed. That's why I have money. Even when the physical money is not there, it has to come because I am blessed. Are you getting this? That's how these great men, these fathers of faith, that's how they function. They held on to the intangibles. The intangibles were sufficient for them. Hallelujah. Did you get that? The written word was sufficient. So you find men like Smith Wigglesworth saying, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. You find men like Ken Hagin saying, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. You find men like John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father, making statements like, I am what the word says I am. So if you follow after Joel Osteen, you hear him make that statement a lot. His daddy used to make that statement. His daddy made that statement popular. I am what the Word says I am. I can do what the Word says I can do. I have what the Word says I have. These are men holding on to the intangibles, holding on to the very words of life, saying, I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God. This is the attitude of the winning Christian. This is the attitude of a man who says, what the Word says I have in Christ is mine. I'm going to stake my claim on it until I see every ounce of it operating fully in my life. So yes, we're laying our claim, but our claim is still on the Word. Because if all we do is wait for, you know, move by feelings, the devil will cheat us. You say, you think you're healed, but you still feel that pain in your back. Yeah, therefore, I feel the pain in my back, but the Bible says I'm healed, so I'm healed. Oh, but you know how you feel in your body when you take 3 steps, and then you claim you're healed. Aren't you lying? No, I'm not. Let God be true, and let every other thing be a lie. I stay with the Word of God. This is how we overcome. This is how we fight the fight of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That means we walk by the Word of God, not by our sensory perception. We walk by the Word of God, not by how we feel. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's an aggressive walk. To back again to the first chapter of Ephesians and the 3rd verse, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Someone says, oh, but they are spiritual. I need them right here, right now. They are spiritual, so you have them right here, right now. Don't forget again, the intangibles create the tangibles. The invisible creates the visible. So take hold of your spiritual blessing and begin to declare the things you want in the natural. Begin to say, I am blessed. I'm blessed with all, not some, all spiritual blessing. Therefore, I declare that I do not lack X, Y, Z, and stake your claim. Oh, but they are spiritual blessings. They are in Christ Jesus. I'm here on earth. I am far away. No, chapter 2 of Ephesians says you're seated together with him. So you're seated right where your blessings are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Be aggressive about this. Be firm about this. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed in Christ Jesus. You are the blessed one. Scream it, say it, shout it. So in Ephesians, is exciting. So I'll skip still the first chapter. All right, verse 6. I appreciate verse 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein we have been made accepted in the beloved. So you're listening to me, and then you have this feeling of God doesn't love you. God doesn't want you so much. You don't even know if you're really important to God. You know, some people are more valuable to God. You know, your own prayers are not so much answered. You know, some other people's prayers, you know, are answered far more than. I mean, you have all those things bugging your mind. Come to God's Word. Tell your feelings. Don't forget again, we walk by faith, not by sight. You tell your feelings. You tell your feelings. I am what the Word says I have. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. Or you tell your feelings. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. So Ephesians 1:6 says, I have been accepted in the beloved. I've been accepted in the beloved. I've been accepted. I'm accepted in the beloved. So you have to deal with it, but you deal with your feelings. Many times people wake up in the morning and say, oh, I woke up in the morning, I just didn't feel good. I just didn't feel like God loved me anymore. I just felt like God was so distant. No, quit the feeling. Deal with the feeling with the Word of God. Deal with the feeling by faith. Deal with the feeling. Deal with the feeling by faith. Deal with the feeling. By God's Word, be aggressive about it. Be strong about it. Be firm about it. Listen, when our feelings get the better part of us, we are more like yo-yos, all right? We're up and down, and then up, and then down, and then up. And the devil loves it that way. Then he'll come with one thought today, you know, then he allows you to be excited tomorrow, and then the day after that, he comes with a funny thought. No, you fight the feeling. You fight the thought. You fight every single thing aggressively. You fight it. Praise God. You fight it. So Bible says you have been accepted in the beloved. I need to get the full picture of this verse, right? Don't forget that God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So Bible now says you have been accepted in that beloved. That the way God loves him, the way God sees him, the way God views him, that's the way God now has accepted. So God is not just accepting you on your own terms. You are now that man in Christ. You are now that person. You know, if any man be in Christ, so you are in Christ. So God sees you that way. God sees you that way. God sees you that way. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And this is our fight of faith. This is our fight of faith. Putting our foot down again and again and again. The 11th verse now of Ephesians chapter 1, 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will." We have obtained an inheritance. Some say it as we've obtained an inheritance. Some say it as we are God's inheritance. But both ways are still exciting. One says you've obtained. I mean some Bible versions now. We've obtained, it means in Christ Jesus, you are God's heir, which you know. That means you have obtained riches and glory and honor that belong to God. God is not, you know, we're not inheriting one street, you know, somewhere down the road from God. We're inheritors of his glory. We're inheritors of his wisdom. We're inheritors of his power. The things that God owns and has are the things he shares willingly and freely with us. And some versions say that we are God's own inheritance. That makes it exciting too. That means we are God's portion. It means we are God's joy. It means we are God's pride. Hallelujah. It means God pours his best upon us. Shares his best with us. So both ways we are solid. So when you feel, "Oh, I wish I belonged to this family. I wish I grew up in that great family." Listen, you could start from nothing. I mean, a couple of years back, you know, Kenneth Copeland had given out, as in as gifts to other people or ministries, 26 jets, 26 aircrafts. The guy is not 26 bicycle tires, not even 26 cars. But this, once again, is a man who began in the 60s cooking from a coffee pot. No solid furniture in the house. They lived in one rumshackle house. You know, and this is that kind of man. Frederick Casey Price was in poverty. I mean, he was broke. You know, they experienced sickness. I mean, I told you he had cancer. If I remember correctly, he had even lost a child. I mean, he just didn't know how the world worked. And he was in ministry for like 14 years. Then he came across Kenneth Hagin's tape. I mean, book. His own case was book first. Came across a mini book by Kenneth Hagin that would be redeemed. And then he felt, no, this is solid stuff. And then he went after more and more and more and more and more Kenneth Hagin stuff. And then his faith kept on growing. And then he learned how to stake his claim on God's word. And he learned how to put his foot down. Guys, we must stay with intangibles. We can't be up today, down tomorrow. Not good for us. I mean, James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials and tests." There are times when things don't go the way you want them to go. But glory to God. Glory to God. Last Sunday, we were, you know, planning to record the, you know, go live for, you know, the Influence of Spirit Weekly, and we're set. I mean, tested the things we needed to test and all of that. Now it's time to go live, and then something wasn't working. Okay, praise God, let's move on. Glory to God, all things work together for good. we got done, tried checking what it was, found out what it was, but there was no, I feel bad. No, praise God. Praise God. It's all right. I mean, yes, we had an audience on YouTube we couldn't reach out to, but praise God. Praise God. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials, and tests, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh out patience. This is how to build strength. This is how to enjoy what we have in Christ. Because the devil will come and try to manipulate circumstances. The devil will come and try to cheat you. The devil will come and try to deceive you. You'll keep putting things and he'll make you hear something that want to give you a bad day. Refuse to have a bad day. Don't say, oh, this person gave me a bad day. You refuse to have a bad day. Oh, you just got a mail from work. Oh, could you imagine? I just woke up in the morning and my boss wants me to have a bad day. No. You choose. You count it all joy. Count it all joy. Oh, they promised us bonus. Now they're telling us. Hey, nah, 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 nah. Oh, count it all joy. I thought she was going to say yes. I proposed to her. Said she'd get back to me. Now she came and said no. Count it all joy. I thought this and I thought that. Oh, but I feel so disappointed. Count. Listen, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And by doing that, he got himself into a proper position to hear better from God. You function better with joy. You function better with peace. Bible says in Isaiah, it's with joy that you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So you've got to create especially that internal atmosphere of joy and peace around you. You don't have to be that extroverted, jumpy all around. Hey, I'm joyful. Can you say I'm joyful? Because some have that outward appearance of joy, but then they're bothered on the inside. So it's just a facade. It's just a cover-up. It's just a mask. The person inside is not happy. The person inside is a bit depressed. But hey, nobody needs to know. Hey, I'm happy. Hey, everybody sees I'm happy. Everybody thinks I'm happy. Oh, let me post. Oh, Snapchat. Oh, see Instagram. Oh, I'm happy. I'm always happy. I'm always happy. And then you drop the phone and then the gloom and the sadness, they still flood your thoughts. No, deal with things head on by the word of God. So you are accepted in the beloved. You are the one that has been blessed. You are the one. You are the one. Hallelujah. You are the one that has obtained an inheritance. I want to quickly skip on to chapter 2, you know, because I want to read the 10th verse of chapter 2 before we end today. So chapter 2 of Ephesians and verse 10. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. Glory. You are his workmanship. Have you seen a beautiful work of art before? Like a beautiful portrait, like a beautiful painting, like a beautiful sculpture. Have you seen one before and you felt, whoa, this is masterpiece? That is what we call workmanship. Someone's work of art. So Bible says we are God's own work of art. Hallelujah. So if you know a bit about the Renaissance artist, all right. So the names that we now know as the Ninja Turtle names, right? They're artists originally, names of artists, Renaissance artists. Or maybe you know names of some other, you know, them Picasso, everybody, you know, and or one musician somewhere, them Beethoven, Mozart. I mean, you know, oh, that they get to give us a lot of good sound, you know. That one thing you appreciate good stuff from them, why don't you think back and say, okay, so God is my masterpiece. I mean, I'm God's masterpiece. God is my master craftsman. So if God says you are his own masterpiece, if you are his own work of art, how much work do you think God put into you? Once again, I'm not going to you see out there, you not happy with the way you look. All right. Our first episode, we mentioned Philemon rather. The chapter 1 was just one chapter and the 6th verse. Philemon, all right. Verse 6, that the communication of your faith will become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. All right, that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. So you are not trying to acknowledge how you feel in the outside. Oh, I see my nose is too pointy. Oh, my nose is flat. Oh, see my eyebrow. They are not well shaped. Oh, just get over that or get away from that and go to God's word. Find the real you. And there are so many beautiful things. So Ephesians chapter 2:10 says you are God's work of art. So don't start with me, but see my hair's falling off. Oh, see my toes are, they're big. My feet, I'm a lady, my feet is big. Oh, see my, you know, and then you want to point out all those things. Why don't you begin again and say, who am I in Christ? What does the word say about me? What's my value in Christ? That value then affects, in fact, your faith. In knowing who you are and what you have in Christ can affect the falling of your hair. But you've got to go first into this is who I am in Christ. This is what the word says about me in Christ. This is me. And then you're conscious of it. You're conscious, all right? So, hey, this is me. This is who I am. I am God's work of art. I'm God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. God finished me, sat down and said, good job. Remember when the first creation happened in Genesis chapter 1? And God said, let there be. All right. And when God said, let there be, God what? Said it was good. And everything God created, God said it was good. Everything God created, God said it was good. And everything God created, God kept on saying good. If God could say that about that physical creation, what do you think God is saying about the new creation? Good. Solid. In fact, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says perfect. So we're ending on that this morning. So you have a perfect day. You have been perfected in Christ. You are God's perfect child. You are God's masterpiece. Have you been blessed? All right, so stay tuned to this, you know, series. See you again tomorrow. Have a perfect, good, and beautiful day. All right, blessings. And all my life, you have been faithful. And all my the goodness of God.